All right, we're teaching on living in the supernatural, and now we've come into this area. We're going to call it kingdom families. I said supernatural kingdom families in the first service, but I just saw I had supernatural already in the title. But it is supernatural kingdom families, praise God. All right, I'm going to read here at Galatians chapter 3. Now look at verse 5. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with who? Faithful Abraham. All right. Let's work right through this. The thing that we're doing now is we're talking about a supernatural lifestyle. When you get miracles, miracles are more or less an event. But when you get blessed, that's when you live in that event. You're all the time just being blessed, coming in, going out, just so forth and so on. So we're talking about now living in the supernatural, and we started talking about families and marriage and kids and so forth. And the reason why we did that, because that is a part of things that we should know in terms of this new kingdom lifestyle. But remember that what I was teaching was principles. And that's where we left off last time. We talked about principles before. And we talked about it's the foundational thing, meaning that it's the origin of something. And it's a principle. Jesus taught principles, because with a principle, you can have it to fit whatever situation you have, such as the principle of confession. And I use that principle in terms of my marriage. When I first got married, I said about 6 months after I got married, you know, I came dissatisfied and so forth. And next thing you know, I'm trying to figure out a way. Let me see, how do I get out of this or whatever have you. And I went to a meeting, and the man of God talked about confession and power of confession and principles and so forth. And then I saw a little book that it was on sale there called Praying God's Word. And I went and bought the book. And then I opened the book and looked at a prayer for my wife, because, you know, I don't need any prayer. And that was just a joke. And but most people think that. That's where they come in. When they come in for me with a meeting for marriage counseling, it's always him that needs prayer, or always her that needs prayer. But we all need prayer. We are standing in the need of prayer. Praise the Lord. So it's some things that we don't know. So what we're doing is I begin to start confessing that. My wife is a virtuous woman, always does me good as long as there's life within her. Bread of idleness, gossip, discontent, and self-pity. She does not eat. She gets up early, gets spiritual food for the house, and signs of man. I just went right through that. Well, I kept saying it, and each day I said it looked like things got a little lighter, and it looked like things opened up a little bit more, and I turned from being negative, start being kind of positive, and so forth and so on. Well, I saw that one of the things happened is when I was confessing that, it was digging up an old image inside of me. We all live out of our images. Whatever's image in you is you're going to live it out. And so what you've got to see is your lifestyle outside. The fruit outside is because of the root inside. And so if you don't like the fruit, go change the root. And so what I did is I'd use that, the word of God. So we called it the word of the kingdom, found in Matthew chapter 13. And we talked about the word of the kingdom is powerful enough to change anything, because it's the thing that God spoke and said, let there be light. So when darkness was there and nothing and void was on the earth, God spoke things into existence. He spoke his word. So his word is powerful enough to change anything. So that's what happened. His word rooted out that old image inside of me, and now it changed my life. Now, the idea about that is that you and I, God has chosen us for this hour. But one of the things about this hour, he said, this perilous time shall come. We're in the last days. The Bible says in Revelation 12:12 that the enemy now is coming with great wrath because he knows his time is short. So what we have to do is understand that, hey, marriages are in the enemy's crosshairs. I mean, he's aiming at our marriages. And what we got to do is we got to fortify them. So the first thing God gave Adam to keep himself protected, he gave him knowledge. He said, don't eat of that particular tree, because the day you do it, you shall surely die. So we need knowledge sometimes. The Bible says in Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. So we want to get knowledge, but that knowledge that we want to get is not just something to get us through that particular situation, but we want to get something that'll cause us to last, cause us so that we won't have to toil, struggle with this thing, that we can get some joy out of this thing. Over in, I think, Isaiah chapter 32. Let me see that. I'd like to look at that scripture again. Isaiah chapter 32 and look at verse, glory to God. Verse 18. It says this, my people shall dwell in peaceable habitation, in sure dwellings and quiet resting place. It nothing, you know, folks, I don't know whether you've been there or not, but you know, it's no fun being in a house. They hollering all the time, screaming. There ain't no peace in there. You got to go out somewhere else to get some peace. So God promised you peace. But the point of it is you got to get it by faith. It's not something that's automatic and so forth. And that's where we have to do it. So we're saying that that you and I, the Bible talks about in Luke chapter 6, 46 through 49, it talks about two people who built a house, and in one dug deep and took time and put it on a rock, a foundation. Now the other one put it on sand. So when the floods came, not if the floods came, in everybody's life a little rain is going to fall. And so the floods came, and when the floods came, the house that was built on sand just washed away. The other one stood. So we said in Psalm chapter 11:3, put it up there please, 11:3, we said, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? So what we got to do is we got to go back and lay the foundation again, because the enemy has cleverly covered up most of the foundation concerning relationships and marriage and family and raising children in our lives. And so we got to go back and find what the foundation is. What is the truth? Because when the enemy does come, we have something for him. We can Satan-proof our homes and make it so that the enemy cannot get to us. Now, one of the things I look at is miracles, and that the supernatural, that's what we're talking about in verse 5, is that supernatural is something that God has given to us. He's given us a supernatural disposition. And he talks about that in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. He said, the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long suffering, so forth and so on. And then he goes on and talks about the fact that you and I can use the Word of God, and the Word of God can work miracles in our lives. If we get miracles in our money, we need some money sometime, and a miracle comes. Next thing you know, we need maybe something in our body. We need a miracle. Here's the woman with the issue of blood. And notice what she did. She went to all the physicians and specialists, but they couldn't get her healed. Next thing you know, she heard about Jesus, heard about the Word of God, heard about the carpenter, praise God, that could fix anything. And so what happened is she said, if I may just touch his clothes, I shall be whole. She did, and the anointing of God, the power of God, worked a miracle in her body, and she knew that she was healed. And Jesus said, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. And I'm saying that we're living in times right now that people, because they don't have any defense, the first thing you know, they have a little problem, they look for a lawyer. And so what we're saying is there's another way out. If God can heal your body and heal your money, he can heal your marriage. And so we got to get people back to this principle. Now, also, when we go back to the beginning, we go back to how God started this. He started it with Adam and Eve. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 1, please. Over in Genesis chapter 1, God spoke over to Adam. Now, Genesis, you shouldn't have a hard time finding that, so I'll just start. Look at verse 28. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Now, there's a couple of things I want you to bring out there. One is God blessed them. He blessed them. Now, this interesting thing about this whole idea of blessed. When we talk about blessed, we're talking about really saying something good. If we just talk about the word blessed, we talk about to say something good about or to say something good by faith and empower it to come to pass. When Jacob when Isaac blessed Jacob, he said something good. He said something and empowered it by faith to come to pass. He blessed him. And then Esau came in for the blessing, and Jacob said, Isaac said, wait a minute, I thought I just blessed you. He said, no, you didn't. He said, do you have another blessing? He said, nope, not but one blessing. That's a revelation. It's not but one blessing. See, the blessing is on Jesus. The blessing is on Jesus. See, he is the seed that the blessing is on. But you are his body. And whatever he gets, you get. So in Revelation chapter 5, verse 12, we found out that part of our inheritance is the blessing. So you and I get blessed. Now, what is a blessing? The blessing is what God placed on mankind that he and she could continue the work of creation. Because the only thing God fixed was the earth, was a part of the earth called the Garden of Eden. Eden has to do with voluptuous living, or a place of abundance and a place of luxury. So this is where God placed man. Now, God has given mankind the assignment to spread that garden throughout the earth. But he gave him something to work with called a blessing. The blessing is powerful enough to fix anything. So the blessing was going to not only fix the earth, but keep the earth functioning as it's supposed to. All right? It was going to replenish means to perpetually renew and supply it. So as the earth went on, mankind was going to have the blessing upon him so he could fix anything. That's why we showed you over in Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 33 through 36, how this place that is ruined, that once God puts his sons in there, his people of God in there, and they come in there, they can turn a ruined place into a Garden of Eden. So it doesn't make any difference how bad the situation is. And we said that once you got the blessing on your life, you don't need to argue about a whole lot of stuff. You know, who's going to take the refrigerator? You don't need to argue about that. You know you got the blessing on your life. And that's what happened. Oh, excuse me. That's what happened. I got to get the job done, folks. I got to finish this. And with Lot and Abraham, you remember? He told Lot, he said, Lot, just choose the land you want. You want the right, I'll take the left. You want the left, I'll take the right. Well, Lot chose the left, and he chose Sodom. And because why? Because it looked good. But it turned out to be full of perversion. And so notice, Abram took the worst piece of land, but he turned it into the best. Why? Because he had the blessing on his life. So you have the blessing on your life, and is given to you to continue creation in this earth and make this earth function as it's supposed to. Now, then over here, God created the man, chapter 2 and verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became the living soul. Living soul, in Hebrew, says he became a speaking spirit like God. So now God is duplicating himself, plus he's putting the same power on mankind that he had to create the earth, so mankind was going to be a duplicate of him. And so now he's going out to do this. The only thing about it is mankind's got to stay under God's authority, because you'll find if you stay under authority, you have authority. But if you don't stay under authority, you have no authority. Say amen to that. So now he then put him in the garden, gave him an assignment over here in verse 15. And the Lord God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and keep it. So God gave man work before he gave him a wife. And so I just want y'all to notice that. And and so now that's his assignment. And mankind is designed for work. You'll find that when men are not working, they're not happy. Why? Because man is a giver and a provider. He is built, that's built into him. That's not that when you don't see him do that and they're living off of somebody else, then you'll find they're not happy people, and you'll find that they're living kind of a different lifestyle. And God intended for men to work. That's why men can work so long. They can go and stay out there all day long and half the night. Honey, I'm coming home. Let me just finish up this last. Because that's in him. Because he wants to provide, he wants to give, and he wants to work. He feeds off of the fulfillment that comes from that. So that's it. Now, we're going to find out more about men and what's the difference between men and women and so forth as we go on down. So now, here, he goes on down here, and Lord said, it's not good that man should be alone. Alone is a contraction, means all one. Adam didn't know he needed a wife. When you need a spouse or something, it's when you should find one when you're not looking for one. You know, did that make sense? In other words, When you need to be whole before you get one. Because this is not a 50-50 thing. This is 100-100. You are unique already. You have some gifts, so forth and so on, but you need to be whole. And so a lot of times what people are not, they're not whole, and they marry other people because hoping other people to make up for that half they don't have. And then they get disappointed because they have unusual expectations of everything and so forth. And next thing you know, they're out. And so as we look at this, what happened is this woman, this man, now God is saying, I'm going to give him a helpmeet. And so he goes on down here and it says, and verse 21, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh thereof, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her to the man. Now, understand, made there is a different made than you look at when he made man. It's a different Hebrew word because this word means built. That's why sometimes men say, boy, she sure is built, ain't she? And the idea about that is that there's a different build. Are you following what I'm saying? It means that God, there's a delicacy that he took here. Now, can I break it on down to you? Okay. So now, in chapter 3 here, it said, and by the way, it said, leave their father and mother and so forth and so on. So you know that's prophetic because they didn't have no father and mother. Okay. So now look at chapter 3. And then it says the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. Now, what does the devil come to do? Come up to break up this marriage. See, he's coming to attack this thing. He's coming to make this thing so it doesn't list. Why? Because first thing the marriage does is give him reproduction rights. License. License to have sex. You got to be licensed. You got to be licensed. You got to have a license now. Okay. All right. That's all I'm going to say about that. And then the next thing it does is it gives them unity, and that unity gives them power, because there's a whole lot more power that can be generated with two than one. Now, the two have to be one, and so those two came in, and God formed a miracle that made those two one. Say amen to that. And then the last thing, of course, is a marriage is to glorify God. We're going to get into that, where a marriage, and Jesus he talks about in Ephesians chapter 5, Christ and the church. If you look at the marriage, it's supposed to be earthly, natural representation of Christ and the church, okay? Now, if you look at Christ and the church and go all the way through there and look at everything about it, which we're going to look at some of it, you'll see how the man's supposed to act and how the woman's supposed to act. Okay. So now here comes the devil, and the devil comes in here, and he's coming to tear this thing up. So he comes, of course, seduces Eve, tries to make her think that she's missing something. And she listened to the wrong voice. And because she did, she ate of the tree. And then here comes Adam. And Adam was with her, and she gave to him, and he did eat. Now, that was not the way it's supposed to go down. He was supposed to say, hey, take that snake purse back down there to the field, and so forth. But he didn't do that. He just let him eat himself out of house and home. And so the next thing happened is they fell. Now, here comes God. He's calling for them, and they wrapped themselves in some fig leaves. And he's calling to Adam, where are you? And he knew where he was. God knows everybody, where everybody is. But he wasn't talking about location. He was talking about position. Do you know where you are? So what Adam has done is he had lost headship. Now that's going to be a powerful thing. We got to teach someone on that, because that's what the devil is still after. Man became headless, and mankind. And so now here is Adam and Eve, don't know God, lost the fellowship with God. And so God now is saying, Adam, why did you eat of that? He said, well, the woman you gave me. Now, that's the first visible sign of the curse. Selfishness. Self-defense. All right, now, going down here in verse let's look at verse 15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now that's the plan of redemption right there. That's it. He's telling him, I'm sending somebody. Somebody's coming. a woman's going to have a seed. Now, you know and I know the woman doesn't carry the seed. The man carries the seed because Satan wasn't after the woman. He was after this man. Why? Because if he contaminates the seed, everything else follows. Everybody was born in sin. So everybody's got to be born again. Why? Because we all had the Adamic nature, the fallen nature of man, and every person got to be born again. Now, here he goes on down verse 16. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over you. So what is he saying? As a result of your sin, you're going to be longing after him, wanting his attention. And because you're never fulfilled in it, try to control him. And by the way, he is going to take on, instead of dominating the earth, he's going to dominate you. Now, this is what he said. Now, wait a minute. This is not the way it's supposed to be. Let me get that right. Y'all looking at me like I'm crazy. That's not the way it's supposed to be. The way it's supposed to be is that they don't dominate one another. They don't control one another. That's the way it's supposed to be. The way it's supposed to be is, I'll get to it in a minute, a word called submission. You submit ourselves one another. Submission is voluntary. See, you got to still think of Christ in the church. See, he never beats you down. He never makes you follow him. He gives you a choice. Got it? He gives you a choice. He said, come on, follow me. Well, if you want to turn back, he'll let you go back. God doesn't beat you into the kingdom. He gives you a choice. Whosoever will, let him come. Now, think of that now, because a man, the reason why we follow Jesus is because we love him. And the reason why we love him is because he first loved us. See, he's taking care of you. He's going to heal you. He's going to deliver you. He's going to comfort you. He's going to protect you. Now, I follow him. And even if I mess up, he's going to forgive me. Now, all of this is the way the marriage is supposed to be. Well, you don't know what he did. You don't know what you did to God. See, he's making you like him. When people see your marriage, you're supposed to say, you know, Jesus loves you, and he's just like this. Is it like that? Well, I want that same one. Meaning that your marriage is supposed to be such a witness till people can see and want Jesus through your marriage. All right. Okay, now, we talked about the blessing wall because we want to change, get that right quick. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 30. Hoo-wee! Deuteronomy chapter 30. If you see I'm going kind of fast, I am going kind of fast because I can't go slow. We're short on time because we had a lot going on today. Look what it said in Deuteronomy 30. Have you got it? Say, praise the Lord. I call the heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I've set before you life and death, blessing and what? Cursing. Therefore choose what? Life, that both you and your seed may live. Got it? Now, you got a choice, don't you? I said you got to have a choice, don't you? You can either choose life, death, blessing, or cursing. Now, he's telling you which one to choose. And just in case you can't figure it out. Choose life. Choose blessing. Am I right about it? Now, that's not when it looks right. That's anytime. I mean, that's anytime. So he comes home. He said, hey, I just lost that job. I just got laid off. You know, that's about the fourth job you'd have lost. You just chose cursing. He doesn't function under that. Sweetheart, let me tell you. That's all right. You and I are going to believe God again. God's going to take care of us. We're not going to even be... you hear what I'm saying? Tell him, hey, you got big muscles. You, whatever you want to tell him. You look good. You so forth. Tell him something. But don't curse him. That's what Job's wife did. Why don't you curse God and die? Overcoming out of children of Israel, went out there to spy the land. They came back, curses. Said, we've been not able to go up with this and beat people. They're stronger than we are. But two of them said, hey, let us go up at once. We're well able to overcome that. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm saying people can curse marriages. Curse them. Curse their mate. Curse their kids. You ain't gonna never be nothing. You're just like your daddy. He wasn't nothing. You ain't gonna be nothing. You are a transition figure. Transition means this. Whatever was running in the line is now cut off with me. My dad, if you look in his trunk, you will find kitchen sinks, everything in that trunk. Old 1955 newspapers, everything in there. I said, Daddy, why'd you? No, leave some of that, son. You never can tell when you might need some of that stuff. You couldn't even find the spare for all that stuff in that trunk of his car. I said to myself, I'll never forget it. I'm not gonna ever let my trunk look like this. And do you know what? Every now and then, stuff start trying to build up. Now, let me tell you why. Because those familiar spirits still trying to run in your family. But you are a transition figure. You are the one that God has been waiting for. Poverty was with your great grandmama, your granddaddy, your grandmama, your mama, but this generation is a transition figure. We're gonna cut poverty off. Asthma was there, it was there, but we're gonna cut asthma off. Come on now. Daddy was mad, mama was racist, but we're gonna cut all that off. Because you are the ones God's been waiting on. You're going to put it all back together again. We're going back down to the foundation. We're going to shake the devil out of this thing and get society on the right road. I'm out of time. Lord. Did you follow that? Now, remember, when the word of God is sown, the enemy comes when? Immediately. So don't go home and start no argument. Y'all didn't hear it. I said, do not go home and start an argument. Put a watch, O Lord, over my mouth. You know, and just keep your eyes to yourself. You know how we do with our eyes when somebody does something we don't like? That's nonverbal communication. Don't do that. Keep looking pleasant. Now, I didn't get to that headship thing because that headship is very, very key now because, you know, somehow we think you got to understand God's way of doing things. He doesn't change. God speaks to a person. He speaks to a person because the man is not the foundation because he's more important. He's the foundation because of his purpose. And watch this. God gave Adam the plan for the whole world. And trusted the man with it. Why? Because he's the leader. See, people have problems. Even, I know we got boards and church boards and all this kind of stuff. But it's one God, one man. No confusion. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget that. The church board thing is what the IRS want to have. That comes from Babylon. The trustees going to vote out the pastor. Man, that is garbage if I ever seen it. That's the one God puts in place, and he's not voted on. See, this is not a democracy. It was democracy, everybody just vote. Because the democracy says it's the people's choice, but not a theocracy. The theocracy says that when Samuel came to Jesse's house, he came to anoint somebody to be king. And he looked around and anointed him, and all them boys, Eliab and all them big muscles just came from the health club down there and so forth. He said, no, these are not the ones. And he said, do you have any more? He said, well, I got one out there. He's a guitar player keeping sheep out there. He said, well, bring him on in here. Brought him in there, and the Lord spoke, said, this is he. For I don't look on the outside, I look at the heart. That's why he chose me. Come on now, come on, come on. Say amen. Come on now, come on. See all this here? Amen. Give the Lord a praise. We'll get you. Okay, before you move, is anybody here you know in your life that you're not right with Christ? You know you didn't, you're not right with him. Now I'm